Hello, folks. Now that the Negative Pauses podcast has completely sold out and is accepting your hard-earned money in the form of coffee donations or Ko-fi donations or basically KO-FI/negative positives, we'd like to take this opportunity to sell our soul to corporate America and have a message from our sponsor. Ladies and gentlemen, come visit Sven's Camera Store in Louisville, Kentucky. We specialize in Hasselblad, see? We started in Cincinnati, but we took a steamboat to our current location here in Louisville, Kentucky. When you're ready to step up to a premium camera, when you're feeling gassy, it's time to get a hassy, see? Hasselblad, see? Sven's Camera Shop, Louisville, Kentucky. Hello and welcome to the Negative Positives Podcast, episode number 311. I'm your host, Mike Gutterman, coming to you from the Gutterman Cave here in Louisville, Kentucky, for another little solo show, a chock full of listener interaction. What we like to do on these solo shows, and speaking of interaction, I have my lovely interactive wife right next to me, Mrs. Minette Gutterman, sitting right next to me. So how are you tonight, Minette?
Good, Mr. G. How are you?
Good. And so, you know, it's we're in this little isolation phase, this coronavirus lockdown, shutdown, and, you know, getting a little bored. I think Minette's a little bored, getting a little restless. So I thought, well, hey, how about you come on the show with me? Hang out a little bit with me. So, you know, because we haven't been hanging out enough lately, right?
No, not at all.
Right. So, well, Minette, what have you been doing during this coronavirus lockdown, shutdown, isolation phase? How you stay insane?
I've been making masks. I've been exercising a lot, and I made some scrub hats. And that's really all I have to show for, I don't know, what has it been, 8 weeks? 9 weeks.
I don't think it's been quite that long, has it?
Yeah. I think it's...
Five weeks? I've been off like 5 weeks, I think, so...
Probably.
Yeah. Well, so what do you think? Are you upset that you haven't used this time to be a little more creative? Because that's where I'm at. I'm a little bothered that I didn't get out and shoot much photography as of yet. But I've done a lot of music, but nothing really in the photography realm. So is there something that you'd like to be accomplishing that you haven't got around to?
Yes, fun sewing, and which is purely selfish sewing, and a house project, but that's non-essential. I would feel guilty making you go to Lowe's to get something that is not essential, like everybody has been doing.
Right.
So many house projects.
This doesn't sound like a creative, fun project. It sounds like me having to work.
That's a honey-do list.
Right. That's not exactly where the angle I was going for here.
Well, I was going to do the painting part. That was my role in the matter.
Oh, okay.
And yours is going to be more building and sawing things.
Okay. Well, power tools. I'm down with that. But as long as I don't cut my fingers off, it's all good. Which, no promises on that. But... So, but like creative things, fun, like, you know, is anything you, I noticed that you did take the digital SLR out one beautiful afternoon and took some shots,
that.
Right?
Yes.
And how was your experience? Are you starting to maybe understand the...
No. No, I was using all the cheats that the camera provides.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the joy of a digital SLR, right? They have all the bells and whistles and you can use them, right? As long as you know how to use them. So if you have questions, you have this guy that lives in the house with you that, I don't know, he kind of dabbles in photography.
Well, you have kept your night shift schedule. So we've seen each other more, but not that much more.
Right.
Not I'm sick of you level.
Well, that's probably been a good thing. Because, I mean, you were getting tired of me at the end of my knee surgery. Time off much so.
Yeah.
And this has been longer, so.
maybe a little bit then, but.
Yeah.
It's been nice having you around. We just don't have any creativity.
No. Well, I've been writing a lot of music, recording a lot of music.
Yeah, you have been.
And you know, Manette's supposed to, the reason I quit my last band was she's supposed to be involved in this project with me. I quit a band for her, you know, that's what I did. That's how much I love her. And
well, I was busy.
And so I've
been contributing to the cause.
Oh, yeah, you have. Yeah, she's made masks and stuff like that for the healthcare people and all that stuff. So good on you. But, you know, there's this music thing. It's I need to get your input. I need to get some Manette vocals on, maybe a little guitar diddle-do somewhere here or there. But I don't know.
I might could swing that this week.
All right. Fair enough. Okay, well, Manette, do you want me to let you go to bed before I get into all these little announcements and stuff, or do you want to sit here and listen to all my announcements?
No, I think I'll pass. All right. I contributed so much today.
Right. Well, you know, hey, it was fun. It's always good to talk to you, you know, on a program that spans the globe. So.
So maybe I'll become popular now.
Yeah. Thank you. So there you go. Hey, would you like to announce your socials, Manette, and tell people where to check you out?
Just Manette on Instagram. That's about all I got.
All right. Well, thank you, honey, for joining me. And I'm going to do all this boring photography stuff. Since we didn't talk much photography there, I guess I should talk about some photography since this is a photography show. So I'll let you go and have a good night. Love you. Sleep good.
Love you. Sleep good.
All right, folks, let's get into the meat of this program. Some social stuff, some interaction that we need to kind of get out. That's kind of the point of the show, right? And so I don't know if you've noticed at the beginning of these solo shows, we've picked up quite a few new sponsors to the podcast. And, I hope you guys will support those these fine people that's now sponsoring this show, just making all that dirty cash on this program. But we also would like to announce here, we have a new product coming out, and I think maybe some of you all might be interested in that. Mr. Jack Allen was nice enough to kind of make us a commercial for this new product. So let's take a listen to this new Negative Positives product that is available now, with a commercial made by Mr. Jack Allen to promote it. So here we go. Let's take a listen to that.
Can't stop buying gear. Constantly finding yourself on eBay, lusting after every camera imaginable? Well, my friend, it sounds like you've got the gas. What do I do, you say? Well, fear not, Photophile. With Uncle Gutterman's Gas Relief Tonic, you'll be one step closer to getting both of your feet back on the ground. This tincture will sort you out spit spot. Just a spoon a day and your gas will soon go away. Free yourself from gas, the Gutterman way.
Please consult your camera store before taking Uncle Gutterman's Gas Relief Tonic. Tonic may or may not just be fine Kentucky bourbon. Results may vary.
Well, thank you, Mr. Jack Allen, for producing that advertisement for our new product, Uncle Gutterman's Gas Relief Tonic. May or may not be just Kentucky straight bourbon, but. but I should also mention, from a legal standpoint here, that Jack did use music from Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech. .com. I always wondered about this. I had to look into this because, you know, you listen to a lot of podcasts where they don't necessarily produce their own music. You hear a lot of podcasts out there that use music from Kevin MacLeod. And I don't know if you guys know about this, but like this guy like has a huge library of music on the internet that's royalty free. You just have to, you know, give him credit for it. And so it's interesting. It's like this huge royalty free library all done by Kevin MacLeod. And that's why like you'll hear a lot of podcasts mention him for using his music selections for music beds and stuff on the podcast and all that. So I always wonder why I kept hearing this guy's name, and I kind of looked into it and see what's the deal with this guy. What's going on? Why do I always hear his name? So very interesting. Next up is speaking of podcasts, there is a new film podcast out there, film photography podcast, and I just kind of recently ran into this a couple weeks ago. I think one of the other podcasts mentioned it, possibly. Maybe it was Sunny 16. I can't remember exactly which one. I get them all confused after a while. But Mr. Ian Turpin has sent in a call-in camera view to the show at some point. Very fine member of the community. He has a film photography podcast called The Ordinary Photographer. So there's another one, folks, another good one out there to check out. Ian Turpin doing The Ordinary Photographer podcast. So, give it a listen. Next up, speaking of podcasts, Neil Piper and Alex Purcell of the Soot and Whitewash podcast. Kind of recently, I guess, had a little milestone, right? 50. I know they hit like episode 50. And in that episode, they announced a contest. And so Neil asked if I could give it a little plug so that they get some more You Find folks a chance to win a prize they're giving away. So Neil actually also sent me a call in to insert into this program. So I'm going to do that right now. Insert this little call in from Mr. Neil Piper of the Soot and Whitewash podcast about this little contest they have going on for their episode 50 celebration, I should say, a little milestone in their podcasting history. So let's take a listen to Mr. Neil Piper.
Hey, Mike, Andre, and Roxana. This is Neil from the Soot and Whitewash podcast. I was just wondering, while you're busy announcing all the wonderful competitions on other podcasts, whether you'd fancy just letting your listeners know about yet another competition that's running on yet another podcast. So episode 50 of Soot and Whitewash, Alex and I put out a few weeks back now, and we are offering a lucky listener a Ricoh camera and a box of expired T-Max to one lucky listener that's been donated by another lovely listener, Krista Brandt. Sorry, Krista. Falling over your name there. He's willing to ship it anywhere in the world, and all you got to do to be in with a chance of winning is just listen to episode 50 of Soot and Whitewash, available on all good podcast catchers, and answer a simple question that you'll find in the show and on the show's Instagram feed, which is just simply at Soot and Whitewash. Thanks, guys, and I'll talk to you all again soon. Bye bye.
Well, thank you, Mr. Neil Piper from the Soot and Whitewash podcast, about this little insider info on this little giveaway you got going on. Folks, if you want to find out how to get into this, just listen to episode 50 of the Soot and Whitewash podcast with Mr. Neil Piper and Alex Purcell. And also, hey, a huge thanks to good all around good guy in the community, Krista Brandt, that is donating the camera and film that Neil and Alex are going to give away. Very, very cool of him. So check that out. And hey, it's actually really easy to enter, but just listen to episode 50 of Soot and Whitewash to find out how, and possibly get your hands on a nice camera and film provided by the wonderful Mr. Krista Brandt. Okay. And next up is I haven't done much photography lately, but I've done a whole lot of stuff for the podcast. I've been kind of around the world here lately. I've recorded a lot of solo show interviews in this last week with people that have a hard time getting on the podcast on our normal recording time. Guests that we would have a hard time meeting our kind of Monday night usual recording time. I've had a lot of fun going around the world. I went to Norway and talked to Sven Olav Humperset. I went to Sweden and talked to Jacob Eriksson. I went to, the Netherlands and talked to Christian Hillen. And also went to, last night I went to Thailand and talked to Mr. Matt Jones. And then even our very own Mr. Andre Dominguez took a little trip to the UK and talked to Hamish Gill of 35mmc. So that'll be a segment. I think that one actually be played the next solo show. I'm kind of banking a bunch of these interviews while I'm off work and kind of have the time to do this. So if you are in a location of the world where it's kind of hard to meet our Monday night 10 p.m. Eastern time, normal recording time, if you kind of get up early in your area of the world, or basically like if you look up like 1 a.m. to maybe say 2 to maybe at the latest 3 a.m. Louisville, Kentucky Eastern time in the United States, and find out what time that is for where you are in your country. And if that's a time that you think you could jump on Skype with me for, half hour to an hour, then hey, hit me up, and maybe in this next week or so, maybe I can take a break from music recording and jump on Skype and do a little short interview with you to give you a chance to get on the show. So that's kind of what I've been doing. And speaking of going around the world, this one is I went to the wonderful country of New Zealand, Kiwi Land. Is where I went to talk to Mr. Anthony Fisk. So I think Anthony might be trying to become everyone's favorite Kiwi by this interview, but I think he also said he would be happy just being everyone's fourth favorite Kiwi. So, we'll take a break and we're going to come back and I'll insert that interview with Mr. Anthony Fisk from New Zealand. All right, we'll take a break and be right back, folks. All right, folks. So we're back from the break here. And, you know, I've been doing this a little bit lately with these solo shows. I have been kind of reaching out to people that I don't normally have necessarily a chance to have on the regular shows. So this has been like being off work from this COVID-19 corona thing has given me a little more time to like reach out to people on the other side of the pond or the other side of the world and have different people on that maybe would have a hard time kind of being on a normal Monday night guest episode or whatever. So this week, I'm very proud to have Mr. Anthony Fisk is joining us all the way from Kiwiland, New Zealand. And he's going to, I think, try to become everyone's favorite Kiwi and try to beat Stephen Ray, but we'll see how that goes. You think you have the ability to dethrone, to take away Stephen Ray's title of everyone's favorite Kiwi? Anthony, where are you at with that?
Oh, I think I'm everybody's least favorite Kiwi. I like to say that the fourth favorite Kiwi was there's kind of a bit of a meme in New Zealand where we like to be the fourth best at everything. We're humble like that. So
it's less pressure too, right? So yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Anthony, how you doing tonight, man? Like I went through the introduction. Didn't even ask how you're doing. So how are you? How are you tonight, sir?
Very good. Finished my beer in the pre-show, so I'm very much ready. Just finished work, had a walk with my family, and settled down to this.
Well, it's funny. Anthony told me in the pre-recording that he doesn't necessarily drink all that much, and he pulled out a beer that was about double the amount of alcohol of what I normally drink. So he's like probably already a little ahead of me now. So we'll see how well Anthony can hold his liquor through this. But what was you drinking, Anthony? It had a funny kind of slogan on the can. It was a can or a bottle. Yeah.
It's a can, nice and fancy. It's a Panhead APA, which I think is American Pale Ale Supercharger, they call it, with a little thing on the side saying, this is an all-American. Oh, I don't know if I should try and do an accent. You can tell from the pre-call to now what's changed, but yeah.
Well, it's
an all-American. This is an all-American show with Centennial, Citra, and Simcoe overwhelming your nose, kicking you in the taste buds, and departing with more bitterness than a Palm Springs divorce.
Nice. And Palm Springs is where Roxana Angles is located. So a nice little tie-in to the show. I like it.
But she was from Chattanooga.
I don't know who else, where else I said, but she's from all over the place. I was going to say she gets around, but that doesn't sound good, does it? But sorry, Roxana. But all right, so... Anthony, this is your first time on Negative Positives. I know you've been on the group and very active on the group quite a bit. And one of the reasons I kind of wanted to have you on the show. And so I think it's be the perfect time to kind of tell people how you got into this film photography madness or just photography in general and how that translated to where you are at with film these days.
Yeah, sure. I'm kind of age where we, shot film as kids. We had mostly disposables and 110, mm-hmm. because I didn't really know anybody or have anybody that I know of in the family who was big into photography, so it's kind of really consumer stuff. And although we probably spent more on disposables, that we could have just bought a decent SLR, but
because they really weren't that cheap, back in the day. Yeah.
And then the developing and mm-hmm. But yeah, we've still got all those, all the negatives in the envelopes and things. I think you posted something about it recently. The nostalgic little cases that they gave you your negatives and your So I've got ones from all different auto shops and stuff around New Zealand, and I've been scanning those in and things. But I only really came back to shooting film in the past few years. Didn't do any preparation to work out when it was, but
that's all right.
my daughter was growing up, and I think it's kind of a common story. She's getting more mobile, and then suddenly all my photos are blurry with my phone, and why is this? And you start Googling and learn about the exposure triangle and things, and like, okay, I'm gonna need a camera with manual settings and stuff. And Everything costs a crazy amount here in New Zealand. So yeah, getting a decent digital camera to do it was not really an option. So I did the fool's thing of getting into photography to film photography to save money. And,
how's that working out for you?
yeah, broke.
So you never actually kind of embraced digital. Did you even like have like digital point and shoots or anything like that, or was it just your phone was most of your digital photography, or like where were you at with that?
Well, yeah, as a teenager, you know, all the digital stuff started coming around, and I get like the really cheap 2 megapixel cameras, point and shoot things, and thankfully. It was kind of, you know, for most people, it's this dark age where they switched, and then a lot of them, you know, they lose their hard drives or whatever, and they lost all their photos, and it's a blank period. But for me, it was within my teenage years, so it was quite of a blessing that, you know, nothing incriminating or whatever is around anymore. So I got all the film stuff of when I was a kid, and then all the debauchery and whatever just never happened. And then I'm a man with my own kid, and it's all, you know, captured on film forever, and you know, you look at the photos and it was a perfect life. But
right. So,
yeah, so I got like a Zenit, that's how cheap I was. I got gifted one because I tried to buy one off eBay for like $20 with delivery to New Zealand, and it didn't work. And my in-laws, Russian, they felt sorry for me, and they, here's our old family Zenit, because you're crazy and want to do this stuff. And so I got that for free, shot some HP5, and yeah, I was hooked. And yeah, you know, ever since then, and that kind of led to buying a bunch of the ex-Soviet cameras and things. I guess the Soviet cameras from the former Soviet Union.
Right, but, right. I get so confused on the terminology and all that. Yeah.
But
so your wife's family is Russian. So there's a little bit of a connection there. Is that right? Because you told me in the pre-show that you kind of been digging Russian cameras. Is that a little bit where that came from?
Yeah, combination of that opportunity of. I got the free one to get me started, and later she sent me a Fed 5, which was awesome. But and just me being very cheap, they're very cheap, and you get a lot of bang for your buck. And I think they get a worse reputation than they deserve. Although, I keep saying how great the Kiev is, and then it keeps breaking on me, and they need to repair it. it's one of those kind of relationships where they don't put your film in crazy, but
right.
Do it anyway and pay the price.
I think the only Russian camera I own is like the Russian, like the Lomo LCA. And, I love it, but it does give me issues every once in a while. Sometimes it doesn't fire a frame, or sometimes like I've noticed it tends to want to like rip the sprockets towards the end of the row. And like, so it's a difficult relationship with Russian cameras, I think, sometimes, right?
they really are tanks, and you're just being so gentle. They're not, they'll rip your film, and if you don't, but then at the same time, if you don't wind fully and only wind partially, then the wind mechanism breaks. And, you seem to find this balance, and it's part of the joy, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So what would be like your favorite Russian camera at this point? What's the one you rely on the most?
Oh, it's a toss up between three. So for medium format, it's really just a Kiev 60 that I've been shooting. I got one. I bought one off. I bought one off eBay, and it worked for about. I made a face cast about it, and immediately afterwards it broke. in that time I got to love it so much that I bought a refurbished one from a company called Heartblay. That I think I bought their last camera because the website disappeared after I bought it. So all hopes of warranty are gone.
Seems a little sketchy.
It was, everything was sketchy about it. Like, you couldn't say which country you wanted to ship to. There was just an option that said worldwide. So you put in your address, but you can't say a country. And I emailed the guy and he said, it's worldwide. And so I don't know. Somehow I got it shipped to me. And but yeah, that now that's having a few issues. My fault. I tried to adapt a 35 millimeter to it and broke all the advanced mechanism. So I'll repair that, maybe do a video about it. But yeah, for medium format, it's that camera. Then 35 is a bit harder. I really like the Zenit E. Yeah, really just basic, indestructible SLR. And then the camera review I sent in about the Sokol 2, which is just everything's in the most bizarre place. I don't know how it's not a cult camera like the LCA. It's,
right. I remember that review. Yeah.
It's not, you know, terribly... well, I said in the review it's not sharp, but it works. I don't know why. I think in the pre-show we talked a bit about, the magic lenses, and I think I have with the magic lens in that camera. Like a
much like Mahoga, right? With a magic lens. So yeah.
So I attribute that to you. Those shots you do in the those like really foggy park shots and stuff.
Yeah.
I would buy a print of one of those. You should put your prints online rather than just at the local photo shows.
Maybe. It's always kind of weird trying to sell your photography and peddle it or whatever. So, the so-called or whatever, does it have what made like the Lomo LCA kind of famous or whatever was, the unique look that it provided the photos. It sort of had on the right day, not every time, because I've taken like plenty of photos with it. But sometimes it has the vignetting. Sometimes it has a little bit of that Hoga sort of feel to it. Other times it just looks like a straight point and shoot photo. I never can quite figure out what things are going to turn out. But does that particular camera have any uniqueness that you think that might make it a cult camera that people would appreciate the unique perspective it brings to your photography? In other words, makes your photography look better than your actual photography abilities are.
Yeah, that camera is just entirely happy little accidents. It's a very Bob Ross camera. It's I can't pinpoint exactly, like vignetting or what, because it's just different stuff happens all the time. And now that I've got one, I don't care if the price goes up. And it would actually be kind of cool. It's like, oh, I influenced something. That would be.
There you go. You can make some money. Making some money as an Instagram influencer, right? That's all the rage these days. So there you go.
I don't have the body for that. But
you and me both, brother.
You don't see me doing the flag shirtless thing you were doing. But... The internet remembers, man.
Yeah, we don't need to bring that up, but July 4th is coming again soon, so we'll see what happens with the with that. So but
that's Independence Day, eh?
Yes, it is.
I think if I made a photo like that, I would be independent. I'd be it'd leave me, but yeah.
A lot of people were a little bit disgusted by it. So, hey, look, as long as you get some kind of some sort of reaction, I think you're doing something right. So good or bad, it's the middle ground where you don't know where you're at. So good or bad reactions, I'll take it. So, but
I think this is good, but I don't know if beer goggles affect memory as well as present, but yeah, that's all right.
So we've kind of touched on a little bit of your Russian camera love or whatever. Yeah, there you go. You did mention in kind of the pre-talk. The one Russian camera you're talking about. You had mentioned that in the pre-show recording that it was kind of like you were a little bit jealous of people with a Pentax 6.7. So that's kind of kind of where you went with it, right? So.
Yeah, I mean Pentax 6.7 is no Mamma Mia, but I had a Mamiya. I didn't like it. I sold it. But
so you're not a fan. Not a fan of canned pasta products, then, pretty much, right?
It was perfectly adequate. It did the job really well, but it was just boring, and it wasn't all metal. So I think the Pentax 6.7 would be one I'd like if. But yeah, everything in New Zealand just costs a crazy amount of money, and that's where half my motivation for all the things I do goes from. But Actually, that
does bring up a good point, though. In New Zealand, what is the camera market like there? Like, I mean, where do you typically just have to buy on eBay from other countries, or is there a lot of cameras in New Zealand you can kind of get a hold of, or do you have thrift stores or charity shops or whatever where you can find cameras, or what is the camera shopping experience like in New Zealand?
I think that, you know, the thrift store, it's just like everywhere in the world. They've caught on to it, and some of them have local auction site pages and stuff. And if our local auction sites sell these cameras for tons of money. Like, you can, and people do set up businesses where they buy cameras from KEH or just eBay and things, and then just sell them locally for a massive profit. Yeah, like when I bought the Mamiya, 645, and I didn't like it, but you know, I figured it's not going to lose any value. But in fact, I sold it pretty much a month or so after buying it, and I made a massive profit on it just selling it locally. I didn't intend to, but bidding and whatever. But there's camera stores that are just people, they go on a trip overseas, they bring back a bunch of cameras and they sell them locally. I think people locally haven't caught on to eBay somehow.
Yeah. I had a friend that one of my friends here in Louisville, he has some friends that that are Japanese, live in Japan, and they come over like once a year and buy like all these motorcycles, and then spend all this money to ship those motorcycles to Japan because they can sell them for like massive profits over there. Like, they come over here and buy them cheap and then take them back to Japan and sell like these motorcycles or motorbikes to in Japan and make crazy money off of it. So there must be a lot of that going on, maybe in your neck of the woods with cameras, I guess.
The only real downside is the shipping is bad. So if you want to get a Pentax 6.7 or maybe a 6.45 or something, the amount you save on the camera makes up for it. If you want to, I wanted to get in on this box camera project. And the problem was, if I want to get like a $5 or $20 camera from the States and pay like $100 shipping or something, it wasn't going to work out. So that's why I was like, screw it, make a box camera. And that's why I started that project of making the box camera and the shutter and all that stuff. And throwing even more money at it. But that's just the story of my life. Just try to save some money, wind up spending way more money, and I don't have that business sense that Ethan Moses has.
Right. Well, that actually brings me to the kind of a next good point. You do a lot of 3D printing, and actually the camera I was talking about that you bought to kind of maybe kind of quench your Pentax 6.7 thirst, you made a grip for it. And it looked like it came out pretty cool, but from the pre-show talk, you're not necessarily that happy with it. What's going on with that? Like,
I really loved it. I mean, it worked, and as you were mentioning with the Pentax 6.7, when you have the handle on the left-hand side, it's a bit weird because you'd normally hold the lens, and it sure would be good to make it a weapon. But I'm not trying to weaponize my cameras as my first priority. But maybe when I run out of ideas for the YouTube channel, but I'll get there. But I put a little grip on the right hand side, kind of like Ethan's butter grips do, that connect on the bottom
butter grips,
and go up the side. It was really nice. And then someone made the comment, it was this wood, plastic, and then a wood kind of part you grip. Oh, it looks like a biscuit taped to a camera. And I couldn't unsee it, so I had to take it off. And now I just hurt my hands, kind of putting pressure on my fingers to hold it rather than hold over the nice handle, and just have this kind of pent up anger that it looks like a biscuit. But so you say biscuit in America, or is just cookies?
It's cookies in America. A biscuit for us is like a dough that we put butter on or whatever, and like but a cookie is like a chocolate chip cookie. Like, so I guess biscuits are cookies there, right?
And burgers are sandwiches. It's like you go to Burger King and you buy a sandwich. I don't understand.
It is weird. I feel like America has just bastardized all the English language as much as it could. So.
You're just like trolling the rest of the world.
Hey, and then we try to force our language on everybody else, and we were like the last ones to speak it, probably. So, you know, yeah. So. But
I should try and get some New Zealand catchphrases to to stick on this podcast.
you'll probably leave me in total confusion, which would be pretty much like any other episode of my podcast. So that would work out. So as far as the 3D printing, like you said, you were trying to do make your own box camera. How did that come out? And what's been kind of like your goals with 3D printing? Because I think like the interesting thing about 3D, this whole 3D printing revolution, and Ethan Moses has really taken the bull by the horns on this, but like the ability to like make your own cameras or make camera accessories is way more accessible to us now than it used to be. So I think it's going to be, and it's only going to get even more, probably even more so in the future. But what's been like your 3D printing experience and what you're trying to accomplish with it?
Yeah, I definitely, just to the last thing you said, I definitely think it's going to get more accessible and all that. It seems, you ever seen there's that thing, the Gartner curve, where you have, when a new technology comes out and everyone's all excited about it, like, oh yeah, Bitcoin or 3D printing or something. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Then you get all the dumb stuff like Kodak making a Bitcoin. But right. I'm not a Kodak hater, but I like them.
But that Kodak Bitcoin really just kind of disappeared into ether pretty quick, didn't it?
Like the $1,000 Super 8 camera, but
right, yeah. Right.
But yeah, then you get like the whatever that it reaches the top, and then people like slowly start that, you know, get the disillusionment, and then people like, oh, actually, it's good for this stuff. And I think we're starting to be there with the 3D printing, where like, yeah, we can print, you know, he's doing ventilators and stuff, and you know, all these camera, we work out like, oh yeah, it's not going to change everything, but you know, we can maybe keep film alive. And I guess that was my big thing with it, with just, my first project was the Lubitel 2 Instax back, where I'd, I'd stupidly, which I've broken two cameras doing now, tried to shove my 120 adapters in the back, and then slam the slam with some violence the door on the back of it closed, and it broke.
Violence with cameras usually never works out.
I think the FPP might have a sound effect or something for that. No violence, and then you know, it was an old camera and. Really cheap even for New Zealand standards, so I could buy another one, but I thought, yeah, it has lasted from the 1960s or whatever to me and my stupidness, and because I'm not gonna be the one to send this to the tip or whatever, so I figured I'll make something of it. So I made an Instax back, and it worked. It was about as reliable as the Lubitel itself. But and I put the files out there, and that kind of that was one of the driving forces behind starting up the camera building and the channel and stuff like that. But yeah, it wasn't my first project because it took a long time. So I started other projects in the meantime, and I just got projects on all the time. I forgot what the original question was.
That's fine. The Lubitel, I know Graham from Sunny 16 often speaks a lot of hate for that camera, but then you get like Matt Jones that like loves that camera and turns out amazing results with it. So I don't know. It's a two opposite ends of the spectrum there, I guess, right? So
go on.
Well, did you ever like shoot it before you broke it and get any results out of it?
Yeah, it wasn't like my Kiev where I made the face cast and immediately broke it afterwards.
Anthony, be careful here, because we're trying to promote people doing face casts. I don't want to think that like they do a face cast, the camera breaks right after it. So like, this is just your experience with face casts.
Yeah, it's you just have to keep face casting. I stopped the face cast. That was the problem. It's like drinking. You only get hungover if you stop drinking. So
there you go. Good point. Good point.
Like I think it's, you know, Matt's amazing with lots of things, but the Lubitel, and you know, like you're amazing with your Holga, But I know of, you know, I suck with a Louboutin, and TLRs aren't for everybody, and TLDR, it wasn't for me. Yeah, and like your Holger, like I know I would make horrible pictures of that. And somebody else would think the Sokol is the worst camera in the world, but you know, some of my favorite photos I'm taking on that piece of junk. But yeah,
do you think that is okay? Like I usually attribute my Hoga shots to the fact that I just happened to get a hold of a magic lens, and not. But honestly, I have shot that camera for, gosh, 20 years, maybe 15, mm-hmm. 20 years, and so I wonder, like, am I just used to it? Like, do I know it inside and out so much that that's why the photos are coming out good? It's not. It's actually just the magic lens. But just but do you feel like that, you know, the more time you spend, like say with the Sokol you were talking about, do you think it's something that just you're used to and you know its quirks and that's why you get good photos out of it? Or do you think that it's actually imparting something to your photos that are resonating with you?
I think you've just broken that Holger in, and now it's got the working man sweat on the lens. And
it's definitely got plenty of that. So.
No, I think, yeah, you know, my first role I put for the Sokol, and then I made that, you know, camera, whatever it was, you know, words are hard. that Colin camera review, that was the thing.
Yeah.
and I basically, oh, it's not sharp. I don't know what anybody will use this for. Maybe some Lomos stuff, but because it's a Lomo camera. And then I started doing that. I just, you know, treated it like, oh, yeah, this is just fun. I don't have to care as much camera. I mean, I still try to compose shots and things, but I just wasn't so concerned about how things came out. And I put my trust in, like, the happy little accidents that the camera would make, and it did it. so I don't know if that was me being more relaxed or the camera. Yeah, and it's a lot of fun to shoot when you are more relaxed. You're not trying to digital perfect sharpness or whatever.
Right, that's a great point, man. I think you kind of nailed what I feel when I shoot my magic lens Hoga is. I do generally approach it. It's like, this is just fun. Like, I don't have to worry about exposure and like, hey, if something comes out great, if it doesn't, hey, no big deal. It's a Hoga, you know? And, there is kind of a freeing, sort of attitude that I get when I shoot that camera, and maybe just that sort of, relaxed, state of mind of shooting a camera that you don't expect much out of. Maybe that does translate into, getting some good winners every once in a while. Right. So yeah. Good point.
Oh, I just got to, you know, your cat wanted to get out earlier. My one's scratching the hell out of my carpet. I'll just let it out. I'll be back. I'm not like that other guy who recorded himself urinating. I'll be back.
Good. Yeah, you let your cat out.
And I'm back. I don't know if you'll edit that out or whatever, but
I'll probably leave it in because I'm a big cat guy. So before we recorded, I had Greta, the Gutter Man Cave mascot, was in here, and she started meowing at me like she's not a big meower, right? And like, she started meowing at me like crazy. It's like, I've never had her do this, but it's really, really warm outside, and I think she's got spring fever, so she wanted out of this garage. Yeah, all right. So as far as before we kind of close up the 3D printing topic, what do you have? Like, do you have any plans in the future for like things you want to do with 3D printing as far as photography related things? Anything kind of like your mind's kind of turning and churning and like, I think this is what my next 3D printing project. Where are you at with that?
I'm kind of conscious of something, you know, Ethan Moses was saying where he doesn't like to talk about his upcoming things, but then he feels committed. But then I look at, I mean, we mentioned my history with these things. As soon as I've done anything, I blab about it and like, oh, look at my, and then I'm committed, but then I fail anyway. And, you know, publicly, I was saying how I'm like that guy. You know, he's like the Adam Savage or what, you know, the guy, you know, he documents the stuff, makes a one day build. It comes out amazing. And I'm like the guy who makes the alarm clock. That's just there's that lady who makes an alarm clock that's just a hand that slaps you in the face, and but she does it on purpose, whereas I'm just doing the stuff on accident.
Nice.
Projects coming. I'm like constantly you know, so my whole thing is, you know, I want to keep the, since I like film photography so much, I want to keep it alive. And part of that is I would really, really like to make a full SLR. Even if it's, at the moment, it's looking like one shutter speed, because I made that box camera that's got like a, I forgot, it was like a 1/100th of a second or something. So I called it like the Anthony 100 or something specific. And yeah, I didn't wind up making a back for it. That was my slap in the face of that project. I ran out of money. I was like, here you go, gave it to the people and do something with it. And I think about five people copied the file and I haven't seen anything from it, but it's, at some point I'm going to make the full, something I'm working on in my head while I'm waiting for the budget to allow it is the mirror part, which, you know, it's not hard, but just kind of the more I can do in my head before I start printing crap, the more money I'll save. And yeah, eventually I'll get an SLR out, probably a medium format one. Just if you do 35mm, you have to squeeze everything in a really tight space. And
yeah,
medium format gives you a bit more space with the flange distance stuff.
Plus the advance is a lot easier with 120 because you just have to have a, find a way to have a window where you can advance to the next number. Whereas like 35mm, you kind of have to have that throw that like advances the sprockets the right amount. So yeah, that I can see where that'd be a lot more difficult. Sure.
Yeah, that, you know, that blew me away, that that Branco Pan, what was it, where he did the film advance thing and for 35, and I think that was that the one, one of them anyway. But yeah, that just blew me away, where I'm nowhere near that. I'm just gonna have a little hole in the back and maybe I'll put a red window on it. We'll see.
Take a piece of a piece of clear tape and just take a Sharpie and color it red. So
yeah. So someone said nail polish, but I haven't heard anything more about it since. No. People nice. Already wonder what the hell I'm doing when I go in the supermarket. I don't know if you don't have supermarkets, say it's
absolutely we have supermarkets. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, like, you got the thing. I thought you called them something different, like a hyper, I don't know, or just Walmart or something. But.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah. Generally supermarkets or sometimes grocery stores but mostly, yeah, supermarkets are pretty common term here. Yeah. So I'm picking up what you're putting down. So,
but yeah, because I'm picking up, hairspray and things, and I don't really have much hair. So I must have worried, what the hell is this guy doing? But so, the 3D printer, you got to, for things to stick to it. I wind up buying lots of weird crap for this hobby. But
oh, yeah. Yeah. I recently bought a little thing of clear nail polish. To kind of mess up filters for the 80s filter challenge that we have going on. And it is a little weird being at a grocery store or a supermarket and as a male buying clear nail polish seems a little strange. And that's the only thing I'm buying. I literally just went there just to get clear nail polish.
Yeah, if you're like there and you have a big trolley full of stuff and you got your feminine hygiene products and whatever, and they're like, what? You know, that's his wife or whatever. I don't think he... But yeah, you just go in to buy a single thing and it's some hairspray and you're bald or what's going on? Like, nail polish. Yeah.
Nice. All right. So, one thing I kind of want to get to, I did notice that you did kind of somewhat participate in, worldwide, Pinhole Photography. you heard my last episode, I strapped mine onto a front of a bike, and I'm sure I'm gonna try to develop those tomorrow, but like, I'm sure all of my shots are gonna be awful, but it was a lot of fun. So what did you do for a worldwide Pinhole Photography Day? I saw that you made an attempt at it. You think you got some shots or with it?
So I watched, I looked on the Facebook page afterwards and saw the things that you guys were doing, and listened to the podcast and heard about the hyperspace camera mounted. And I thought, oh, these are so cool. And I really like, there's a guy who put it by his gate, and he had the gate open and closed in the long exposure, and it was like all symbolic and whatever of can't get out during the quarantine. Oh, these guys are smart. And one of the things I did, I just put it by my cat and while she was sleeping and hoped she wouldn't move. And it wasn't until I developed the negative later, it's just cat butt in the which, you know, is podcast appropriate. Some of those
Sure. I've dealt with some cat butt on my face cast. And let me tell you, the good, well, I'm actually kind of wanting to see that result because cat butts are always funny, like no matter. No matter how you look at it. So your big worldwide pinhole photography day, experiment was a project on cat butts. So I mean, you know, hey, you know, everybody, hey, do you, man? Like, you know.
I don't know if I should be more worried about that or the supermarket trolley, but I did some other stuff, you know, but mostly it's just boring. You know, put it down on the ground. Stuff happens around it. Pick it up because I didn't bring my tripod like an idiot. And
right.
I got a cool one I liked. Well, it's one of those. It's like a joke that you have to explain. So it's only really cool to dads and things.
I like it already.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't funny, but like, I put the camera down and we'd gone for a walk to the park with my wife and daughter, and they were walking off and the sun was shining through, and you can kind of make it was they're moving. You can kind of make out these silhouettes of them hand in hand. And because it's pinhole, rather than lens flare, you're getting these like God rays of just straight light going through them. And yeah, like they were going through hyperspace or something. That was pretty cool. But if you just looked at it and I didn't say any of that, you just, what is this mess? But if you point out, oh, that's where they are, there's this little blur there is them. And yeah, then you can kind of, it looks sort of arty, but yeah. Yeah, it was a flop the whole day.
I try to pass off all my photographic mistakes off as art because you just don't understand my art, man. Like you're just not picking up what I'm putting down. But one thing that I know that like my pinhole bike photos are probably going to be all awful. Like I would be shocked if any of them come out. But that to me, like, and I think I said it on the last week's episode or whatever, is that. Part of the fun of pinhole, right? Like, I mean, if you get one shot out of it, like it's kind of worth it because there's something fun about the process of shooting pinhole. And the more I do it, the more I'm starting to kind of feel that, like, I don't know if this is going to come out, but at any rate, this is in a completely different type of photography than what I normally do. And, I really thoroughly enjoy it, even though most of the time the results can be somewhat mixed.
it kind of feels like, oh, it's just a hole in a thing. It shouldn't work. You know, I know why. I mean, I'm a scientist. I know why this thing works, but like, you know, it still feels like it shouldn't work. I shouldn't get anything out of this. And then you do. Right. And yeah, sometimes even if it's crap, I'm like, oh, this is a miracle.
I know.
Especially
yeah.
when
yeah.
you make the camera yourself. Like I've made my first one out of, what's it? Foam board and duct tape, and it got images. I was amazed, but even though I knew it would get images,
right? I've yet to actually make my own pinhole camera. It's something that's like on my major gigantic to-do list. It's like three pages long now, because I really haven't wanted to like learn the math of like, okay, how far does the film plane need to be away from this hole in the front of it? Like, and so it's always been my stumbling block to not do it. I know there's plenty of sources out there to understand that, but there is something like, I think the ideal of making your own pinhole camera and getting images out of it, that's gotta be pretty satisfying. It's something I should do. I'm assuming you've gotten some results doing that.
Well, it's a good option for when, you know, for me, the pinhole camera I used was, I had this Welmi 6, which is a Japanese camera, and it was actually bought by a person in the New Zealand Army just after World War II, between 1946 and 1947 or something. It was stationed in occupied Japan, and it was Anzac Day on Pinhole Day, which is like Australia and New Zealand kind of war memorial day where we mourn all the people that died and stuff. And so, yeah, I thought a pinhole day, I got the camera from the old soldier and stuff. And it was a Bellows camera, but, you know, I bought it and the guy, you know, our local auction site, whatever, I shouldn't speak too badly of it because I work in IT and they're an IT company. But I got ripped off. The guy said it was pristine or whatever. And it had been like sitting in a garden that had bugs in it. I'm like, how is this? And the Bellows were wrecked, so I turned it into an interchangeable lens camera, but a pinhole rather than proper lens. So you screw in the, so I still wanted it to fold. So you unfold it, you've got like a bayonet mount, you screw in the pinhole, and that's what I used. And the funny thing with it is because I made the mount so it could still fold, I made the mount right up close to the film plane. So there's no room to kind of change from that circle of the lens mount. So you get circular negatives. Because the circular kind of lens mount is right up against the film plane.
Right.
So, I forgot what the question was or whatever, but
No, that's good. One thing that kind of brings me up though is like, so you got this camera and the bellows were kind of trashed. Did you just remove the bellows or did you try to fix them? Because I know there's a lot of people that wonder how to fix bellows.
I tried to make some bellows. I quickly kind of didn't like the idea of bellows just because my whole thing, I want this to last forever as possible, and making these paper and whatever material things that won't last in the rain or whatever, it just it didn't sit right with me, and I wasn't good at it. But and then the next thing I did is I was in the supermarket and I saw these it's like a funnel, but it was a silicon funnel. You can, one of those ones you can flatten and it telescopes out. I was like, that's a bellows. I bought that for $1 or something. And
you put it in the grocery cart with your hairspray and all that.
My feminine hygiene products and whatever. And I went to the counter, my hair dye, and I won't make the whole trip home, but it was green, so I had to paint it black and whatever, and people say, oh, you can't paint silicone. Well, you can, but the problem was as soon as you paint it, the whole telescoping mechanism of it relies on some parts being thin and some parts being thick, and that painting, it ruins that. So then it didn't really, it just kind of mushed rather than telescoped. And I still feel, and I think some people have done it with there's the parts that go over your gear stick in a manual car. What do you call it? A stick shift or something? I forgot.
A little sort of like boot sort transition. Of thing. My Pontiac Fieros in the 1980s were all stick shift. So But it sounds to me like, Anthony, you need to either be a guest or, I don't know, maybe a co-host of the Homemade Camera Podcast. There you go.
Relief segment.
Well, hey, you know what? If nothing else, you give those guys like a different thing, a different vibe.
Not to do. I'll make those 1,000 light bulbs for you, Edison, so you can make the one that works. So I'll make the... they've already got Ethan, and that guy's hilarious, and he does stuff right. Yeah. So it's kind of they don't need an idiot on the show.
I disagree. I think it'd be very entertaining, but
they need an idiot.
look, I have been an idiot on the show for 311 episodes now. So I think every podcast needs that. So there you go. Not calling you an idiot. I'm just saying.
Is that you added Roxana now just to, you saw things were going a certain direction and you're like, okay, I need more of the smart.
I needed to class it up somehow, man. Not that I still continue to let this thing devolve, because anytime I speak, at any given moment, I'm liable to say something that is crude, but I haven't run off Roxana yet, so that's good. Okay, kind of the last thing I want to get to before I kind of wrap this little interview up here is we talked a little about your photography. We dived into a lot of different subjects, but like, what do you really like to shoot? Like, what is your main vote? What is the type of photography you like to do? Like, if you was say, if someone was like, hey, Anthony, how do you describe yourself as a photographer? Like, what is it you like to do? Like, are you all over the place? Like, kind of like I am, because I don't really feel like I have a couple things I like to do, but I'm kind of all over the place. Are you like that? Or do you feel like there's things that you're actually trying to like specifically hone in on your photography?
Yeah, I don't feel like I've got the luxury of of choosing a niche and whatever. But I'm really just a photographer of opportunity. It's like with a family and a job and whatever. There's very little time I get to go out to with my kids 3 years old turning 4, and it's so I just there was a lot of portraits because of that. When we could go into the office at work, I would take photos of buildings and things. So we rarely get to go on holiday in the beautiful country of New Zealand. We'll take some photos and stuff. I did a lot of traveling before getting into film photography. I just wish I was into it then, but I took shots on crappy point and shoot digital cameras and it's so bad. But and phones and things. But, now I'm settled down, and it will be a little while before I travel again. And so I guess I would I try a bit of everything. I'll do the pinhole on pinhole day and mess that up and do a lot of portraits because kids become very skilled at avoiding pictures, and even the dogs in my neighborhood, like you go without a camera and they're barking at you and they'll jump up to the fence and things. Next time I'm going to bring my camera because I don't have a dog. I'm not that much of a dog person, but I want a picture of like a dog with the teeth out and things. And, but you bring the camera and they hide away. I'm like,
oh yeah. What? Yeah. We tried to get some photos. We tried to get some photos of my cat today, and he was laying like in a really weird way, and it was a humorous sort of way he was laying. But but the sun was coming in from the window and like shining on his face and his eyes, just like perfect. And so we grabbed the digital camera the digital SLR or whatever, and it's like let's get the shot. And literally, as soon as we pulled it out, he was like. And like just jumped up and ran I don't like what he's just being an asshole but I think that's what cats do a lot but I like that, man. Like I feel like I'm kind of the same, like more of a photographer of trying to take advantage of the chances you get out and just a photographer of opportunity. I like that sort of I like that. That's a good analogy, man. I like that. That sort of
sounds kind of like an Indiana Jones kind of. I'm a man of whatever mystery or opportunity. It's it sounds like you're going spelunking in caves or something. But and I shoot a lot more digital than I would like, just because everything's really expensive here. I'd shared sometimes. People could be complaining about Kodak price rises, and I'm like, this. So
you're not $60
for a roll or some crap and some bad store. Also, then it's not just a film. Like, if you want to buy a house in this town, the median price is very near to $1 million. So, I mean, we got our house, but then it's like, we got a mortgage and we got a very strict film budget.
sure. And do you have places in New Zealand to buy film, or do you have to import everything? Like, or is it cheaper to import it?
You got places to buy film, but it's cheaper to get it, particularly from the place that Andre does, Cine still does business with in Australia, Walkins Film.
I sent
you the sticker. Yeah, that's right.
You're right.
Yeah, they're amazing, and they're really good service too. Kind of, I'm not getting paid, but if they listen, one time I got like the wrong, I ordered a 120, was it film sleeves or whatever, and they sent me a 35, and they just sent me out a 120 as well, and didn't need the 35 back, and it was just some stickers and stuff. I was like, "Whoa, sweet!"
I've heard nothing but good things about them. So yeah,
they're amazing.
That's awesome. Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, we got local stores, and they're all friendly, and it's I think it's mainly a younger crowd, and like people go for the social kind of, like there's a huge amount of people in there, like early 20s and things, who are they're buying up the point and shoots, and nothing against it or whatever, but I just feel out of place there, so I just stay home and order from Australia and save some money and some social awkwardness.
It's cool to hear that there are like young people in New Zealand embracing film, though. That's always that's a good positive sign. Speaking of New Zealand, I think we had a little discussion about this with Theo Panagopoulos when he was on. but like shooting in New Zealand, like everyone that I've talked to that's been from there or has been there has talked about just how photogenic it is and like just an amazing place to shoot. Do you find, since you live there, like it's not that inspiring to you, or do you find it really inspiring? Because I know, like, maybe if someone was to visit Louisville, they'd be like, oh, Mike, this city's incredible. There's so many things to shoot. But I'm like, I've been here my entire life. I'm like, oh, there's nothing to shoot. I'm so tired of all this. Like, where are you at with that? Like,
look what is at it the like? Fire escapes.
Anthony, you've listened to way too many of these episodes.
As I said, I haven't seen the early ones. So, the things I would have been bringing up, I don't know if I'd seen those ones.
I will do. It hasn't really changed in like 311 episodes. So you pretty much nailed it. So yeah.
I think we're spoiled a bit. Auckland's great. It's the biggest kind of area, population, whatever, in New Zealand. Most of the country's here. But it's the real beautiful stuff's in the South Island. And you know, as a typical person who doesn't do enough to appreciate their own country, you know, I went to America and I went to Russia and Singapore and other places before I even went to the South Island of my own country.
Wow.
And I went there once before I shot film, and it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I got to go back sometime, especially before it gets too touristy. You're going to come. I think you've got like a bunch of offers, right, from Stephen Ray. On the hammock or something.
That's right. I need to come. My fear is that Stephen Ray will get me so hammered drunk the entire time I won't get any photography done. So like that's I have to like pry away. I have to be like, hey, Stephen, I got to leave, man. I got to go meet Anthony Fisk and we got to do some real photography. So
just real photography. I don't know. Are there cameras that get better when you're drunk? You know, like some things get better, and then worse very quickly. I don't know if the Holger or something, it's got the optimal beer level or.
Yeah, there probably is. I know I took a lot of Florida photos with the Hoga while drinking beers. So maybe it's not the Hoga or in the magic lens, or maybe it's not my photographic ability. Maybe it's just the alcohol that is just making those come out. I like to think make them come out better. So, right. So
I imagine you could just get drunk being in Florida. You have like secondhand or something. Just. I've never been, but you know, like even down here in the ass end of the world, you hear about Florida Man and stuff, mm-hmm. and it's legendary.
Well, it's Florida. Like there used to be a radio show here in the United States. It was kind of a national radio show, and it was like a sex talk show. Basically, it was like called called Love Line, and like these people would call in, and like they would give like sex advice to people, and they had this segment called Germany or Florida. And they would read like this craziest headline, and you had to guess whether that headline was a German news article or a Florida news article. And it seemed like 90% of the time it was always Florida. Like there's so much weird shit that goes on down there, man. I think just stuff oozes out. I think alcohol just oozes out of the sand there, I believe. I love it, but it is a weird state, man. It really is. Yeah.
I have to go sometime. I imagine like you know. It was kinkier, it's probably the German stuff, and if it was more like illegal, it would be the Florida stuff. It's just from my perspective. Right. Never being to either country and
well,
being a safe distance from anyone who lives there with weapons and things.
The weird thing is, like, I go to Florida every year because I love it, and I have German heritage. Like one of the first places I want to go if I ever travel outside the United States, I want to go to the homeland and go to Germany. So I don't know what that says about me, but it's probably not, probably something. But
was the listeners giving the advice, not the host? Like it was just random people.
No, it was definitely the host. They had an actual doctor on the show, and like they had like a comedian and a doctor, and like so the comedian would make fun of the call, and then the doctor would like technically get like really annoyed with the comedian, and then like answer what really needs to be said. And but yeah, it was something. But
That reminds me of there's a Zenith you can get for medical use, and it's got like an attachment to go like inside a body. I just imagine the doctor saying like, "Don't put that inside you" or something. But
I don't know. This is going to be definitely TMI, but my wife had like a colonoscopy a couple years ago, right? And which I'm supposed to have. And I'm supposed to have had one, but I've been avoiding it like the plague. But the doctor came out and it's like, she's still out. She'll be waking up soon. Here's what we found, blah, blah, blah. Everything's okay, blah, blah, blah. So he gives me this printout of like 12, like, or maybe 15 photos in succession of like her colonoscopy, like the entire travel through her, with the camera through her colon, right? And that's fine. Like, I get it. Like, they want to show you what's going on in there and make sure everything's okay. But the very first photo was just a photo, of like her butthole, right? And,
and that's like, wholesome.
That seems unnecessary. Like, I don't think we needed to take a photo of that, did we? Like, I don't know.
Is he like, oh, you want to keep that one or something?
I mean,
did you get to keep the photo? So like,
they're in like our file cabinet. Like, you know, like, I mean, I've seen it before, but I mean, but I don't think I need a photo of it.
Well, what if something happened and you know your kids are left to like clear out their things? that could happen to me too. I had an X-ray at one point. Only now I have to hear the FPP and stuff selling X-ray film, like realizing that that stuff was all film, and I have a massive negative, like ultra wide, ultra large format of a part of me that if anyone ever does like this kind of print swap or something, and I'm just tempted to
just send that to them.
That's after drinking, which I don't normally do, so I probably wouldn't. But.
I love it. All right. Well, I think we have definitely devolved now, and I think it might be a good time to wrap up before we go down any more really bad rabbit holes. But
only as old as your jokes, remember.
Anthony, it has been a real blast talking with you, and I think this would be a good time for you to tell people where to check you out, all the things where people see what you're up to, all the social media stuff.
All right, so I've got an Instagram, but kind of like Andre was talking about recently, we're talking about being worried about recently, it's my everything Instagram. It's all my family stuff and my whatever I'm doing and stuff you probably don't want to see. So if you do, it's TEH, like a misspelled the monolith. It's locked down, so I'll say yes and whatever if you're not one of those you get those people that have like five followers, and they're like these scantily clad people and like right. Send you the winky face or whatever, like add me and no
right.
But there's that, and there's Film Camera Hacks on YouTube, where I've got all my videos of my alarm clock slap in the face style camera hacks. We make pinhole conversions, Instax backs, cameras with shutters and stuff like that, and grips that look like biscuits. But it's kind of hard to find. So if you type in, because everybody made these videos with hundreds of thousands of views and said film camera hacks on them. So if you do FCH, then space EP, which I list all my things as EP1, EP2 for episode, whatever, then you'll probably find it. But yeah, if you search film camera hacks, you won't find it, even though that's the name of my channel, which is really annoying. That's the longest socials kind of call out ever.
No, not at all. I honestly, I haven't checked out your YouTube channel, so that's something that I'll have to do after we get done recording here. That seems very interesting to me. So
I was wondering.
you'll have at least one more watch after I check this out. So there you go. One more.
One more dislike. I've got my one dislike, and I was thinking like, do I care? I mean, YouTube probably is like, oh, someone's interacting, someone's watching ads, whatever, like, you know, bump this guy up right. On it so that he's page 100 rather than 101. on the film camera hacks results or something.
So the actual YouTube channel, like your actual YouTube channel, is called Film Camera Hacks.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know if you can do like youtube.com/filmcamerahacks. Or I really this is, yeah, this is my lack of research again.
Yeah, Anthony and I kind of did, like I hit him up earlier tonight. I was like, hey, what time this week do you want to record? And it ended up being like, let's do it now. And so we're not necessarily that prepared, but hopefully this conversation was somewhat cohesive. But we kind of winged it, right? So yeah, it's good. Yeah,
preparation was just, yeah, let me have a beer before we start the recording. And
well, that's about all the preparation I do for any of these shows, so we're just fine. So, but Anthony, it's been a real blast having you on, man, and we'll keep in touch. And hey, you know, this is my chance to give you the opportunity to say the famous negative positives catchphrase. Dear. So we're going to see how well you know this. And, you know, hey, about 99.9% of people get this wrong. So it's all good. And again, thanks to Anthony Fisk for joining me tonight for this solo show recording. Everybody stay positive.
And shoot some cool film photos in Desert Palms, Chattanooga.
Nice. All right, Anthony, thank you very much. We'll talk soon, brother.
Thanks.
All right, folks, we're back for the final segment of this solo show, and I'm going to go ahead and jump in really quickly here to a call-in camera view, and this one will come from Sindri Scarpaggio of the Contax T2. Sindri, hope I got your name right. Hope I'm nailing it. I have no idea. I'm trying. But let's listen to what Sindri has to say for the Contax T2 camera.
Hello, folks. My name is Sindri Scarpaggio. Now, I have another call-in camera review, and I'm going to talk about, well, another point-and-shoot camera. Though this one is slightly more advanced than the Olympus Stylus Epic Mu that I talked about last time. And this is the Contax T2. Now, I got this camera in a trade. Actually traded a digital camera for this one. And I didn't know why. I don't know, I guess it was because it was all over Instagram and I wanted to try it out. It is a lot of fun. I have to say, I really enjoy using this camera. It is fun. It does have autofocus, which I think works okay-ish, but it also has zone focusing, and I like that. So you can turn a dial on the top right corner of the camera, which is also where you turn the camera on. Maybe start with that. Okay. So you have in green letters autofocus, then you have 8 on the side, which is infinity. And then you have 5 meters, 2 meters, 1 meter, and 0.7 meters. Those are going to be different numbers in feet. You'll have to figure that out on your own. Right next to this dial, there is a switch for timer. And yeah, I have no idea what the timer is on this camera. And then you have a fairly sleek shutter button. On the lens itself, you can change the aperture from the brightest, that is 2.8, and in, what is it called, like whole stops, yeah, so 2.8, 4, 5, 6, 8, 11, and up to 16. There are also two settings that are flash and double flash. I would guess that is that was just a first curtain flash and then first and second curtain flash. Actually, just managed to try out, I think, one or two films with the flash. For some reason, it does not work anymore. It has no flash. Doesn't look like anything is broken. Just now there's no flash. That's okay by me. That's no problem. On the left side, on the top, there is a exposure compensation dial. So you can simply load in your favorite film, and if you're, for example, using a color film, you can overexpose it by 2 stops simply by adjusting the exposure compensation dial. Right in front of the exposure compensation dial, there is the frame number indicator. It simply tells you how many frames there are left. No, how many frames you have, photos you've taken, how many frames you've used. I like it. It's good. I really like this camera. It's not the greatest camera. It's not the best camera. People can judge on their own if they're willing to buy one. But for me, I'm happy that I have it. I think this is one of those I'm gonna keep. God damn it, I hope my girlfriend doesn't listen to this podcast. Now, what I've been using with this one is actually the thing I talked about in the last one, which was changing the DX coding. Actually been using an Imidafilm that's in here now, is a Rollei RPX 400. And I guess that if you're buying those online in the States, they're quite expensive. But for some reason, I really don't know why, they are cheap in Iceland. I think this is like the second cheapest black and white film you can find in Iceland. I think Kentmere is like 20 cents cheaper or something. And anyways, I bought a few of these. And as I was talking with the DX coding, this one is set to 1600. So I can actually use this camera for more than the 3 hours of daylight we have. But with cracking the DX code, I can extend it to 4 hours. And again, this is what I recommend people to do. It's necessary here. And that will be it for now. Have a good day and shoot some cool film photos without flash in this case.
Well, thank you, Sindri, for your review of the Contax T2 compact camera. And hey, any folks out there, if you'd like to submit a call-in camera review, call-in film review, a darkroom experience, a shooting experience, anything that's going on in your film journey, or anything you want to get off your chest that involves film photography, or you want to gripe about something, or whatever, just feel free to send us a call-in about anything you want to talk about, as long as it's, you know, somewhat photography-related, right? And the easiest way to do that is just on your phone. Use your voice recording app or whatever, and just send that file on to negpositives@gmail.com, and I'll put it in the queue to get it on the air. I'm kind of surprised I haven't received any new ones for a while. I mean, I got a decent stockpile. I've got maybe 5-6 more in the queue or whatever, but I thought during this kind of corona time off that maybe people would be have a little time on their hands, and I would receive more of these reviews or call-ins about anything. And haven't really, it's kind of dried up. So there you go. Here's your chance. Next up, I guess we got to get to the coffee donations, ko-fi.com/negativepositives. And just a couple to get to this week. First of all, we get a donation from Bill Thu. Thank you so much, Bill. You are awesome, and you have always been awesome, and your photography is awesome. I praise it every chance I get. So, and Mr. Nigel Cliff. Man, Nigel has been so generous to not only us, but I hear like him giving coffee donations to a lot of the other podcasts. Nigel has been a huge supporter of the film podcast crowd, I guess. And Nigel says, Negpaws continues to be one of my one of the highlights of my listening week. Well, thank you so much, Nigel. That's very, very kind of you. And so thanks for the Ko-fi donations for this week. I believe we are trying to kind of raise some money to give some sort of coronavirus COVID-19 relief. I haven't really figured out how to do that. I was trying to think like maybe like something more like artist or creative centric to give the donation to, like send a donation to, but I haven't quite really found exactly what we want to do with that. But definitely something towards a relief fund for people that are having more trouble in this time than maybe some of us are. So, but all right, the next thing is the 80s filter challenge. It's live, folks. I mean, this is going on. I mean, I realize we gave you till like the end of June to get this thing going, but haven't really seen. I've seen some interest on the Facebook group. Haven't really seen any posts yet. I know Mr. Matt Jones actually made his own rainbow filter. I think some Sharpies or some markers and some filters, and he posted those in the Facebook group, which I really enjoyed. So far, it seems like Matt Jones is at least excited about this. But the 80s filter challenge is obviously where we're trying to get like cheesy 1980s style photos, particularly doesn't have to, but particularly with some of the cheesy filters that came out around that time, the soft surround filters, prism filters, and the famous Koken rainbow filter that inserts a rainbow on all your photos. So, but if you're interested in that, the easiest, the way we're doing it is on Instagram. Take your two favorite 80s filter challenge photos and submit them to Instagram, and then use the hashtag NPP80s. Filter challenge, NPP80S filter challenge, and we will your two favorite entries into that. You got till June. I know we give you a long time because hey, it's hard to get out and shoot right now these days. So, but that is still live, and I'd like to start seeing. Come on, let's start laughing at some photos. So let's get some involvement there. And I actually want to try to like start on mine this week. So. Yeah, so that should be maybe the hosts have got to get this ball rolling. So maybe we need to be the test subject. So, but next thing up is I was always wondering about like podcast reviews. I know a lot of other podcasts like, hey man, give us a review, and I haven't really ever pushed for that much. And I was kind of shocked how actually few listener reviews we have on this podcast. And I try not to ask for too much, but hey, if you guys have a little extra time or whatever. How about submitting a review for this podcast on iTunes or however you submit reviews to podcasts? It's a process I'm not even all that sure about, but I supposedly that helps people find the podcast. I don't know. I try to mention it every once in a while. Very rarely. I think I've only mentioned it a couple of times, but I was kind of shocked at how few reviews we have. So if you have a little spare time in this isolation and you want to do us a solid, how about submitting a review? Good or bad, whatever you think. Doesn't matter. I'm all about it. I'd like to see a little more reviews on this podcast and the podcast catchers or whatever. So, and the last thing is, I'm going to like go through the socials and all that, but, what I do on these solo shows, I always end the show with a listener, a musician in the community, a musician in the film community that has sent me their music. I always like to insert one of their songs at the end of these shows. And so I've made a call out for that. And so if any of you happen to be musicians and photographers, I'm always super interested in how those worlds collide. So feel free to send me any file you would like to have played on one of these solo shows, and I will definitely put it in the queue and it will get played. I've thoroughly enjoyed hearing like the talent that some of these photographers in the film community also have as musicians. And we also have a little Negative Positives music group that we've started, and there's a Kyle Harvey has been doing like these four track recordings, very atmospheric like four track recordings on four track cassette. I mean, how analog is that? So if you're interested in music and happen to be a musician in this film photography community, that's another good Facebook group. It's just very small, but it's active and it's a lot of fun.
one. And that is, it's spelled a little different. It's the negative sign / positive sign music group. So the negative positive music group, where you can kind of, if you happen to have, be in the situation I am, where music and film photography often collide or at odds with each other. It's a pretty good group because it's a lot of fun. So anyway, so, but this week, I am going to be putting in a song from Mr. Tim Allen. And I played one of his songs, several solo shows ago. He sent me several files of some of his music. I'll go ahead and read what he wrote. He says, "Hey, Mike, I thought I'd share some of my DIY homemade music." And everything is solo recording projects by himself. And he's out of the Space Coast, Cocoa Beach, Cape Canaveral, Florida. All music is homemade, including any sorts of imperfections. Whatever's cool. Sincerely, Tim. Well, Tim Allen, we're going to listen to his home recording of a song called Patient Haste. So after I get out the socials here, I'll insert Tim Allen, Patient Haste. And you can take a listen to that. So, okay. And hey, if you guys happen to be musicians and you have some original music out there, send me those files to negpositives@gmail.com, and I'll put it in the queue. So, okay. You can see my photography on Instagram @GuttermanPhoto, on Facebook @MikeGuttermanPhotography. You can join the Facebook group. It is the Negative Positives Film Photography Podcast Facebook group. You can email this program @negpositives@gmail.com. We also have an Instagram account under the account name Negative Positives, mostly ran by a friend of the show, Mr. Bryce Randall, who continues to do an excellent job of highlighting people's photography. So if you submit photos to Instagram, think about using the hashtag #NegativePositives, and maybe Bryce will find it and highlight it on the Negative Positives account. And also, if you do the 80s filter challenge, remember, NPP80S filter challenge. That's a filters challenge. There you go. And so let's see some of that. Let's laugh at some photos, right? So, and let's see. Lastly is the coffee donations. ko-fi.com/negativepositives if you'd like to support this program. Okay, folks, have a great week. And I believe the next episode is supposed to be a roundtable discussion. So I'm going to try to line up some past guests to be on for the good old roundtable discussions. Bringing it back with the Gray Lab timer, hopefully buzzing Andre at the end of each of these discussions. So, but until then, everybody have a great week. Everybody stay positive and shoot some cool film photos.
Gutter Man Cave production.